Hello, folks. Sean Mize here, and in today's training, I'm going to give you what I call my 250K model. I'm going to give you the formula for it, and a few different things we're going to set out to accomplish. My biggest goal today is to show you how simple it is to make a full-time income on it. You know, obviously, I'm going to share with you at the beginning of the call, I'm going to share with you some stats that if you achieve those stats, then you generate 250 grand. And obviously, you don't have to generate those stats. You know, you can decide that you're going to invest more into things like traffic, et cetera, so that you can scale things. You can do 10 times that if you want. Or you can decide, you know what, instead of, you know, taking the time to build this to a full-time business, I just want it to be a part-time one, and then you just scale down the numbers that I'm going to give you. So I'm going to, the very first thing I'm going to do is kind of give you a set of numbers. I'm going to assume some conversion rates. However, I will tell you this about the conversion rates I'm going to give you. They're pretty similar to what occurs in real life when you do things right. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a couple of caveats, okay, and I'll share those with you as we go through. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the components that are necessary to make this happen, okay? And then the final thing, or one of the final things I'm going to do, is I'm going to share with you what tends to disrupt people from being able to take this simple model and run with it. And obviously, one of the things that we've talked about, I think, in the past is this idea that you have a simple model, but you're getting bombarded from a lot of different directions with do this, do that, something new just happened yesterday in the internet marketing world, jump on this bandwagon, and those kinds of things really distract you. So we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit. My goal, though, is when I finish with this training, you're going to know what you need to do to be able to get to a full-time income online. And obviously, in the next, you know, whatever this takes for me to teach it to you, and, you know, looking at it ahead of time, I don't know if we're talking 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour to get all of that information out. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be able to give you, you know, all the technical details for, you know, how do you upload an article file, you know, how do you press record to record an MP3, you know, I mean, those are kind of the types of things that, you know, if you're internet savvy, this probably comes naturally to you. If you're not, then those are the kind of things that you probably need to get into some kind of coaching program, not necessarily with me, but with somebody that's done it before and offers some kind of access, you know, to be able to get those kind of questions answered. So one quick note, this actually isn't in my notes, so I'm going to share it right now. One quick note about coaching, whether it's with me or with somebody else. You know, so much of what you can do online is so simple that when I finish teaching you today, you could go out there and figure it out on your own. The question is, there's so much information out there, both from me and from other people out there. You know, people want lots of information, so we create lots of information. Today is kind of the opposite. It's really designed to be more of an overview and get away from bogging you down with extra details and information. There's so much information out there that it's so easy when you're trying to figure something out on your own to spend 3 months, 6 months, 9 months trying to figure something out that you probably could have gotten in a 15-minute coaching session, okay? And so that, again, that wasn't in my notes. Just something popped into my mind. I said, you know what? I feel like I need to share it. So let's go ahead and get into this. Before I get into the numbers, okay, and what it's going to take to make those numbers happen, I want to say one thing about training out there, and I'll throw myself in the hat and say that sometimes my training is this way as well. And hopefully today's training is not going to be that way. It's really designed to zoom out and give you something more broad that when if you'll take the notes from today, you know, assuming you know how to do the pieces, okay, you can go out, and the pieces are simple, you can go out and start doing it immediately. There's so much training out there, it's confusing. There's too many steps in it. And the reason, let me just give you some background, the reason that training becomes really complicated is because, let's just say, for example, that I create a 10-minute training on how to do something. It has three steps. And then somebody comes around and they say, well, how do you do this? What are the details? They say, well, how about that? How about that? How about that? And it's really tempting as a coach or as a trainer to say, okay, let me just start adding all of these little steps that don't really belong in the training, but somebody might ask, so we'll throw it in. And after a while, you get 100 people asking a bunch of different questions. You end up with like a 100-page document with all of these different if, then, steps, here, there, 90% of which don't apply to most people. They just apply to each step might apply to a different person. And so what happens is, you know, trainers, me, other people, we're proud of this training because, you know, we say, boy, this is an end-to-end training. It's everything you need to know. Every frequently asked question is in this training. But then when you go to operate it, you have all these extra pieces. And that's one thing I'm hoping to get rid of today is really clarify things down. The truth of the matter is that people that create, let's call it what it is, confusing training that's overloaded with information, they mean well. I mean well when I create it, but it's confusing nevertheless. And so today's goal really is to keep it simple. And my advice to you as you're building your business over the next few months is to keep it simple, okay? You know, there's a phrase that I use with my coaching clients sometimes, and that's that your entire business model should fit on the back of a napkin. If you can't write out your entire business model on the back of a napkin, you probably have too many steps in your business model. And you're going to kind of see that today. I'm going to make this really simple. Let's get into the numbers, okay? I'm going to give you the numbers right now on what it takes to get to $250,000, okay? Now, first of all, when I give you these numbers, each one of these numbers is going to have an assumption associated with it, okay? So, for example, I'm going to be sharing with you that you need a certain number of subscribers. Okay, now my assumption with those subscribers is that those are high-quality subscribers. Those are subscribers that come from reading an article or a blog post or a personal recommendation. They come to your squeeze page. There's no smoke and mirrors on your squeeze page. You don't promise anybody anything that isn't true. You don't send them emails out that give them promises that are not true. Okay, so we're making the assumption these are solid subscribers that come through a solid method. Okay, so if you go out and use some kind of faddish method to buy a million subscribers for a penny a piece, those are not solid subscribers. Those people don't even know who you are. Well, you're not going to be able to attain the same numbers that I'm attaining. Okay, so if you can just think of the picture of the difference, you know, if one person comes onto my list after reading one of my articles, and they like the article, and they go to the squeeze page, and the squeeze page has an honest promise on it, they download the ebook, you know, 10, 15 pages, or the MP3, depending on what squeeze page they came in through. They listen to it. They got honest answers. They hear the sound of my voice. Everything is upfront and honest. I would rather have one subscriber like that than to get 1,000 subscribers by running some $37 advertisement to a 3 million bulk opt-in list, you know, that is going to produce 1,000 subscribers who don't even know who I am, that aren't even halfway interested. Okay, now obviously I've given you a great spread between, you know, a high quality subscriber and then one that really is just worthless, and you should never get a subscriber like that type of thing. And then obviously there's a whole spectrum of subscribers in between. Now for those of you that have been following me for a long time, you know that, I mean, 95% of all the prospecting that I do is very, very high quality, because I write articles, I do some things to get them to show up in the search rankings. People find the article, they read it, perhaps you came to me from an article, and that article begins a process of bonding, okay? I'm not generally getting subscribers by running a three-line ad that flashes up on somebody's website somewhere and says, click here, you know, big yellow font, click here, and your free car, you know. And so there's a huge difference in the quality of my subscribers versus those. And why do I say this? Because the reason I say that is sometimes when I share the numbers I'm getting ready to share with you, there's two things that happen. Number one, sometimes people say, well, I don't believe it because I'm generating 10 times that many subscribers and I'm not getting those results. There's two things to ask. One is, where are you getting your subscribers? I mean, if you're not getting high-quality subscribers, then, well, these numbers aren't going to work for you. And then the second thing is, you know, are you marketing to them right? I mean, are you trying to just sell, or are you building a relationship? And you folks know, if you've been on my list more than 3 days, You know, I deliver content. I work on building a relationship, you know, at Center Center. Of course, all of that happens through an email campaign. One more example, and I'll get into the numbers. I want you to imagine that a car dealership in your town, okay, decides that the only advertising they're going to do is in a real upscale magazine in town that people have to pay $10 to purchase. And the only advertising they're doing, and you know, on page two, there's a picture of a really nice car, and it has some bullet points about, you know, why you'd be a really special person if you bought this car. And what would happen would be you wouldn't have a lot of people come into your dealership, but your conversion rate would be really high because people would be pre-sold on buying a nice car when they came to your dealership. Now, imagine if instead you said, you know what? We've just discovered that if we get 10 people in our doors, we sell free cars. So we're gonna hire a radio station to tell people that they can get a free $100 gift certificate to the next door restaurant if they'll just show up. And they hire this radio station, and they have 1,000 people show up, and they give away 1,000 $100 gift cards. They sell one car, and they go, "Well, our conversion rate's not the same." Well, of course not, because the people didn't come to your car dealership to buy a car. They came for a free gift certificate. And guess what? Everybody that came to your car dealership got what they came for. They got their gift certificate. And that's what happens when, if you look at the difference in my prospecting is highly, highly targeted. I write an article that's about the problems people might be having that I can help them solve. And so the only people that should be coming onto my list are people who have read an article, they think I can help them, and so they're joining my list because they think I can help them. Whereas if you're doing a lot of other types of advertising, people are not joining your list because they think you can help them. They are joining your list because they think they can rate something free from you it may not even be relevant, but people are really attracted to that four-letter word free. Okay, so folks, I hope you get the difference there. So let me share with you some numbers. Okay, the first thing is 1,000 subscribers a month. Okay? 1,000 subscribers a month. Okay, now, remember, these are high-quality subscribers, number one. And number two, you're not going to get to 1,000 subscribers your first month, and you're not going to get to $250,000 a year in your first month. It's not going to happen. It's just like if you open a sandwich shop, and you plan a year from now to be making a full-time income selling sandwiches, and let's say that to do that you need 200 customers every day, and I don't know the economics of a sandwich shop, okay, but let's just say that it takes 200 sandwiches every day to make a full-time income. I don't know what the economics are. Maybe it's 100, maybe it's 1,000. I don't know. But let's say we're going to open up a sandwich shop, and 13 months from now we're going to be fully operational, we're going to be full-time, we have 3 employees, and we make a good living, okay? And we know that we have to sell 200 sandwiches a day to do that. Now, when we open our doors, we have to recognize we're not going to do 200 sandwiches a day right at first. I mean, if we do, it's because we probably paid more than we're going to get in sandwich money in advertising just to get people to come in the first day. But, I mean, realistically, month two, month three, we're probably not going to make a full-time income selling sandwiches. And it's exactly the same thing online. When you're building an info business, you are building a real business. You're not building a three-button magic business. You're not, you know, building a push-button click-here business that takes 7 minutes to run and makes $1 million a month. That's not what you're building. You're building a real, genuine, ethical, moral business that you can hopefully stake your future on. Okay, there's 1,000 subscribers, and I'm going to get into how we're going to work up to that in a few minutes. Okay, now out of 1,000 subscribers, if you're bringing good quality subscribers in, and you're communicating with them for the first 90 days, and you know you are giving them good content like I teach, and you're building a relationship with them, you're sending out good content in the emails, you're building a relationship, and you have a few entry-level products that you can sell, anywhere from 37 on up to, say, 97 or 197. So entry-level products in the info marketing realm. So it's, you know, books or manuals or MP3 programs or video programs if you're in a niche that really requires people to see things, et cetera, et cetera. You should be able to convert about 10% of the people that come onto your list into an entry-level item if you have a few different entry-level items. Okay, and the reason I say a few different, and I've run the numbers a lot, I've done a lot of testing, I've done a lot of experience with this because I've done this for a long time. If you have just one product, a lot of times the person that comes onto your list for some reason doesn't click with that one product. But if you have a second product, many times they go, okay, well, I didn't need that one, but I could use this one. And the same thing with the third product and the fourth product and the fifth product. And so because of that, you're probably not going to get 10% your first month. But if you were to create one product a month for 5 months, by the fifth month, you'd have five products, and you should be approaching that 10% level. So let's look at some numbers. We have 1,000 subscribers come in, 100 people purchase it. Let's call it 37. That's $3,700 in revenue on a monthly basis. Now, we just took that, just that entry level, and we multiply that out to our 12 months. What would we have? 3,700 times 12 would be about $40,000 a year. Okay, now, the next step is where you make the bulk of your money, okay? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Your first product sale normally just pays you for your traffic. Normally, your first product sale just pays you for your traffic, okay? Meaning that there's some inherent cost to generating 1,000 subscribers a month, okay? Whether you're doing it yourself and you're writing, you know, you're going to put some significant time into it. Or the model I'm going to share with you in a little bit is that you start out personally doing the work, and then as you have money coming in, you put a portion of that money, you reinvest it back into your business to hire other people to do traffic for you. And what happens in the long run is that it costs you about as much in traffic generation as you make on your first sale. Okay, and I've seen that a lot over the years. Okay, so just remember this, your first product pays for your traffic. Then what happens is you have 100 people out of the 1,000 that have purchased your entry-level product. If you market appropriately to those individuals, the way that I teach, 20 of them, 20%, should upgrade to either a higher ticket item, okay, so somewhere in the $500 to $2,000 range, or to a coaching program that ranges anywhere from on the low end, maybe $100 a month, to the high end, $500 to $1,000 a month. Okay, now, I'm going to share with you here, we're going to use an average of $1,000 per upsell. You know, when I say $1,000 average, I mean average. So some of those upsells are going to buy a $200 item, and that's all they're going to buy. Some of those upsells might buy $3,000 courses from you. When you average it all out, the average person, okay, that purchases from you, the average person that goes on to continue buying, should buy about $1,000 worth of back-end, whether that's monthly coaching, et cetera, et cetera. There's a few different ways that can look. One is a $1,000 package, okay? And $1,000 package I don't want to say it's an easy upsell, but if you're ranging anywhere from 37 to 97 on that first item, and you deliver in the item, so the sales letter promises A, B, and C, and you actually teach A, B, and C, and that's in that item, okay, about 20% of the people who purchase that item should go on to purchase something additional. That could be monthly coaching, $200 a month. The average person maybe stays in 5-6 months. That's $1,000, or it's $1,000 training. You'll have some people that want even more from you. Okay, so you may have a few private clients that invest at $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 for the course of the year, and that's going to factor into your average. Okay, so what we have here is 1,000 subscribers. We have 100 buyers at $37, and we have 20 buyers at an average of $1,000. Okay, now this is where the real money is. 20 times 1,000 is $20,000. That brings us to $23,700 a month. And if you multiply that by 12, I think you even jumps a little bit higher than the 250K model. Now, before I go on, okay, I want to cement in your mind that this is just a sample set of numbers that are attainable, okay? But it's going to be dependent on you getting a good traffic source, creating the products, okay, and developing a coaching program and getting a little bit good at getting people to convert into it. Okay, now, let's say that you're only half as good on your conversion. what could you do to make the same amount of money? Have twice the traffic. Think about that. And I'm not going to do all the math here, but we've just done the math and we laid it out. Imagine if all your conversion rates were half as much. If you had twice as much traffic, you'd do the same amount of business. So if you had 2,000 subscribers, but you only had 5% instead of 10, you'd have 100 buyers. Okay? And then let's say that you – then the next step, say, was still the 20%. Let's say that you were only half and half on your buyers. Both your conversion rates were down. Well, you could quadruple your traffic, and by quadrupling your traffic, get to that dollar number. You know, let's say that you say, you know what, that's a number that I don't care to reach. This sounds like too much work to reach it. Okay, well, we can cut everything in half. You could say, okay, let's just generate 500 subscribers. Or to start out, let's do a tenth of it. Let's start out for the first 6 months. Our goal is a tenth of that. We'll do 100 subscribers. And then each month as we add an additional product, our conversion rates will go up. Okay? And then obviously, you know, if you create products that nobody wants, okay, you know, if you're going and you're creating subscribers that are looking for X, Y, and Z, and you don't ask them what they want, and you just create products that you think are cool, well, they're probably not going to buy them, and then your conversion rates are going to be much lower. And then on the other hand, if your products that you create are perfectly matched to what people on your list need, well, then it's a completely different, it's a different ballgame. Let me go through a couple of caveats here, okay? The first thing is, this isn't going to happen the first month. This is not going to happen the first month. I don't care how much money you have to throw at it. This isn't going to happen the first month, okay, because even if you go out there and say, well, I have $1 million budget, I'm going to make this happen the first month, you almost can't even buy your way into this success, because if you start spending money, all the money has to be optimized and maximized, and normally you lose money the first month anytime you're buying advertising, okay, so if you try to do this by buying advertising, you're still not going to do it the first month. What I recommend for people is to start small. Start with little advertising, or especially if you're going to use my model, article marketing, content marketing, blog marketing, form marketing, if you're going to use my model, do it yourself first, then outsource it. Okay? And so you're not going to spend money, you're going to spend time, but hey, wouldn't it be fair for you to spend some time to make a full-time income? You know, I mean, that's normally the way that it works, to make a full-time income. Well, you work full-time, and the beautiful thing about this model is you really can outsource, you know, 90-95% of it long run. So, you know, it's just a matter of starting the business. Maybe it's a year or two up front, and then you can really start backing your time out of it. Okay. The second caveat is that the long run really does require reinvestment. Okay. So let's just say that you were to start with article marketing, okay, and you were to say, you know what, I'm gonna do all my own writing initially, and I'm going to learn to write an article in 15 minutes like I teach, okay? So I can write for an hour, and I'm willing to work 2 hours a day. Okay, that's eight articles a day times 20 articles for 20 days a month. That's 160 articles. And 160 articles, my experience tells me you'll get about 500 subscribers from that. So you're not there. You're not going to be able to get the full subscribers probably by doing it yourself. But you start out, you know, doing half of it, okay, because that's what your time allows you to do. But after a few months of generating some revenue, okay, so maybe the first month you generate $3,000, would it be fair for you to take 20% of that $3,000, okay, whatever that number is, would it be fair for you to take 20% of what's coming in and reinvest that in other people doing your writing for you? Okay, because that's basically what I do. I pay other people. I think right now I'm paying my article writer $6 per article to write these articles for me. And well, couldn't you do that? So if you, let's just say you did $3,000 one month and you said, I'm going to take 20% out and reinvest in the business, what would be 20% of $3,000? It would be $600, right? So if you were able to buy them for $6 a piece, you'd be able to get other people writing 100 articles for you a month. Okay, now, what you could do is you could keep writing your own articles, 160, plus the 100 that they do, which is now 260 articles a month, which my experience tells me would be about 750 subscribers a month. Okay, now with that, maybe by now you're in your third or fourth month, you have three or four products out there, you know, maybe you're $8,000 a month or $10,000 a month. And now you say, okay, well, I'm at $10,000 a month. Am I now willing to reinvest 20% of that? I would hope that your answer be yes. So you have $10,000 in. Say I'm going to take 20% of that, $2,000, and I'm going to reinvest it. I'm going to reinvest that in articles. So we divide that by six. What do we get? 2,000 divided by six is what? 333 articles. Okay, now there we are. Now we have other people writing all of our articles for us, and we're able to totally back out. And that's basically what I did. Okay, so I wrote, when I first started, my first 10 months online, I averaged about 150 articles a month personally written. And it was about my sixth or seventh month that I started hiring other people to write articles. And the first month I hired, you know, somebody to write 100. And then I hired, the next month I had several people writing a total of 200. The next month it was several people writing a total of 300. And I continued to increase that until I was generating the same amount of traffic from their articles as I generated from my own articles. And then I was able to back out, and except for when I had some inspiration and said, I just have to write this article. You know, my article writers wrote probably 95 to 98% of all the articles out there. I didn't start by paying people to write all the articles. I did the work first, and then as I reinvested revenue as it was coming in, then I was able to back out. Okay? The third caveat is, okay, this is going to require a few hours a day at first. And, you know, I've kind of talked about this a little bit, this idea that I personally believe, I hope you would believe, that to get to a full-time income online, it would be reasonable to expect a few hours a day or more. Just like if you said, I'm going to start a new sandwich shop, I'm going to start a coffee shop, I'm going to start a stock investing business, I'm going to start a real estate business. Any of those businesses are going to require some time investment, and the info marketing business is the same. Now, once again, the beautiful thing about the business, this business is, you know, hey, once you've created a product a month for 10 months or 20 months, you know, you have a full product funnel, you can stop creating products. Once you have other people writing all your articles or writing all your forum posts or blog posts or whatever other advertising you choose to do, well, you don't have to do traffic anymore. You know, and let's just say that you set up a coaching program, you know, where you're coaching 2 hours a week, and you have all your clients on a group coaching call, and you have all of your clients feed into one call. Well, 2 hours a week of coaching, you're outsourcing your traffic, you've already created your products. Well, on down the road, 10 months from now, 20 months from now, you can back out of the most of the business, okay? I mean, obviously, there's even people out there that go so far as to backing out of their coaching. I don't like that model. I mean, I'd rather just personally take 2 hours a week and do my own coaching because then I know exactly what people are getting, and I'm not paying others a hefty commission for doing the work that, well, I mean, again, we're only talking a couple hours a week to deliver that. Okay, so I hope everything I've shared with you not only sounds sensical, okay, but it's also simple. And it all seems fair that it's not going to happen the first month. That long run, you're going to require some reinvestment, okay? And that it's going to require a few days, a few hours a day at first. Now, let's get into the components of making this work. And incidentally, I have already described the three major components of running your info business. I just haven't named them yet, okay? I haven't named them as such. But I have described the three components of running your business. Those three components are, number one, driving traffic to get subscribers. That's one component. The second component is creating products to sell to those subscribers. And the third component is coaching. Okay, those are the three components. Okay, now, those are the components, those are the long-run components. Now, obviously, each one of those components has a few parts, and I'll share those parts with you, some of those parts right now. The traffic part for me, okay, is just writing articles, having a link in those articles to a squeeze page, and submitting those articles to the appropriate place, or putting them on my own website, doing some search engine optimization, allowing them to come up in the search engine so that people are able to read the articles on my website, or read the articles on other people's websites, or read the articles on other article directories, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so there's a couple of components inside of the primary component, which is driving traffic. Those components for me are writing articles and having them submitted with a link to a squeeze page. Okay, now obviously, if you say, you know what, I don't want to write articles, I want to do social media marketing, okay, well, then to drive your traffic, you're going to have a few different components. You're going to set up some social media sites, and you're going to have, you know, people that are interested click through to a squeeze page. Hey, let's say you decide, you know, I'm going to pay for advertising instead. And I'm going to really work on getting good at pay-per-click, for example. I'm willing to just invest right off the bat and work on getting good at pay-per-click. Well, same thing. You're going to have a pay-per-click kind of a dashboard, and you're going to get good at it. You're going to manage. You're going to have to learn how to do it. And there's some components in making that happen. Obviously, there's some footwork that's going to have to be done first. You need a squeeze page. Yeah. You probably need a domain name to host the squeeze page, and you probably need a place for people to download your products, and you can put them all in one domain name if you want to, and that's something that, you know, that's just one piece. You put it in place. We know whether it takes you, you're technically savvy, it takes you 2 hours to do it, or if it takes you 2 weeks to do it, once it's done, it's done. It's sitting there. I mean, I do the primary part of my business, I run off of a domain I bought, you know, what, at the very beginning of my business, and I just continue to add things to it, okay? And then I do a good bit of the business on another domain that I've added since that really allows me a lot more flexibility and bandwidth and that kind of thing. But, you know, it's not necessarily necessary, but I like having, say, hey, let's have another one, okay? And those are things that once they're set up, I just pay the monthly fee for them every month, and then they're there. I don't have to reset it up. You know, when I create a product, I don't have to re-upload it every month. I don't have to re-upload it every time somebody buys. I mean, literally, if I create a product and one person buys it or a billion people buy it, you know, I don't have to do any more additional work, okay? Well, if a billion people bought something, I'd probably have to buy additional bandwidth and maybe some extra servers and things. But, I mean, realistically, if 1,000 people buy something, you know, they buy it over the course of a month, you know, you probably, your server's not affected. You don't have to go anywhere there, okay? So each one of these components is going to have some parts that you're going to set into motion, and I'm going to share some of those parts with you now. First of all, let's talk about the traffic component, okay? Now, obviously, you folks, best I can tell, you come to me because you want to learn how to do things the way that I do them. If you wanted to learn how to do them the way somebody else did them, you'd be buying coaching from somebody else, not me. Okay? And so the way that I do it is 95% of my traffic comes from the articles that I used to say I write, but, I mean, for the most part, my writer writes. Okay? And I submit those articles to online article directories, and then they're also, sometimes I have articles that are placed on my own websites, and then, you know, I may do some search engine types of things to get links to those articles on my own website, so it kind of duplicates the experience that's going on over there at the article directories. So what I want to do with you in this traffic component is I'm going to show you how I do it. Okay? First thing that I do is I write articles that are based on topics that people are interested in. I don't generally write articles based around some keyword because I believe that keywords and human searches are a bit disconnected, okay? And I personally believe, it's my personal opinion, and I think I've done really well by myself by using this personal opinion, but it really goes against, I think, most everything else you hear out there, and that is, you know, you hear, optimize for keywords, get this keyword software so you can become number one for some keyword that's pretty popular. Okay. What I have discovered over time is that for the most part, when people are just plain old searching keywords, they don't even really know what they're looking for yet. When they start searching for ideas, when they start searching for how to do something, when they start searching for how do I do something, when they start typing questions in, I mean, think about your own search activity. You know, let's say you're looking for something online. You know, maybe you want to drive more traffic. You know, maybe the very first keyword that you type in is drive more traffic. And you type that in and you find that, you know, maybe in the search engine there's a city map of St. Paul, and it shows you the traffic times, and you go, oh, man, this isn't going to work. And so then you say, okay, well, let me boost this up a little. How about drive internet traffic? And then you find there's a whole bunch of websites, you know, trying to sell you a million guaranteed visitors that come from spam bots or something. And you go, wow, I need to get more, you know. Now I say, well, now I type in the question, what are some types of traffic? And I get closer. And then I start zeroing in and I go, how could I get traffic from articles? How could I get traffic from blog posts. Wow. Now we're talking keywords that are deeper than keywords. You're going to be very, in my opinion, it's probably difficult to find those big sentences in the keyword tools, okay? But what I find is that the people that are most relevant to me, the people that go on to buy from me in the long run, they're looking for answers to problems. They're not just some robot on a search engine that's following some algorithm to search for a keyword. So because of that, I don't really worry about keywords. Okay, now, obviously, if you go through my article accounts, you'll probably find maybe thousands of articles that are keyword optimized. And you go, well, isn't that contradictory? Well, yes, but that's the past. It's because I've tried to do things that way and evaluated the results and said, wow, this doesn't work. And so if you look at what I'm doing now, you probably get a better package idea of what I believe is actually working, what's driving the revenue today. Okay, so what I do is I search for ideas. What kind of ideas are people looking for? What kind of problems are people having? And of course, there's ways to do that. Once you have a list, you send out an email to your list that says, hey, what kind of problems are you having? And then they tell you your problems. Their problems, guess what? Those make great article topics. And so that's where I start my articles. How to do XYZ. Or maybe a question. How do you do XYZ or ABC or whatever the case is? And then a lot of times when I'm writing the article, maybe it's a 5-point article. So step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, do this. Step four, do this. Step five, do this. And then I go, well, what if I could take step one and just write a whole article about step one? And then, of course, I'd have 5 steps for step one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then when I'm writing that article, I think, what if I could do 5 steps on how to do this step? Okay, and then I start asking myself other questions people might be asking. How about this? How about that? And our ideas, once you do that, they just start flowing. Okay, and when I write an article, I'm generally going to write an introductory paragraph, something along the lines of, I'm writing this article to teach you about whatever the topic of the article was. The reason I'm writing you this article is because I found that some people have trouble with this. Perhaps you're the kind of person that struggled with this, and in this article, I'm going to show you how to do it. The way that I'm going to show you how to do it is, and then I just list off all the bullet points, the things that I'm, the steps that I'm going to give them. And then I, something along the lines of, let's go ahead and get started, and I'm going to share with you what those particular steps are. And that's usually about 100 words. In fact, if you transcribe the last 100 words that I wrote, you'd probably find it's about 100 words. Okay, and then each bullet point, I'm going to say step one, do, and I'm just going to spell it out, usually 3 or 4 sentences to tell somebody how to do something. And then bullet point number 2, 3 or 4 or 5 sentences to tell them how to do something. You're going to average about 100 words per bullet point. And then if you do this, 100 words for the intro, 100 words for each bullet point, 4, 5, 6 bullet points, you end up with an article with 400, 500, 600 words, which is what you're looking for. Okay, then key part to your article is your resource box. Biggest single mistake I see people making, even after they've been working with me and I've told them how to do it, what I'm getting ready to share with you repeatedly in the past, still the very biggest mistake I see is that people's resource box does not appropriately appeal to what people are looking for when they're reading your article. Let me explain that. The state of mind that somebody is in when they're reading your article is they have a problem and they're looking for an answer. They're looking for an answer about whatever the article is about. And so if your resource box says your name for your resource box, your name is an accomplished XYZ and has 14 awards and has 3 PhDs, and has 77 years of experience, and you can reach him at, and then such and such a web link, guess what? You're not going to get very many clicks. Why? Because nobody's interested in you at that point. They may be once you're on, they're on your list for 10 days. Then you can talk about you. But right now, they don't care about you. They are care about whatever it was they were searching in the search engine 2 minutes ago. You know, think about when your toilet is overflowing and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you really don't want to call a plumber and you go online and you look for some information about how to fix my overflowing toilet. And then there's some directions and at the end of, imagine that at the end of the article, there were two options. One was Joe Smith is an expert super duper plumber in your area, and he'll be out within 3 hours if you click this link. Guess what? You're probably not going to click that link. But if there was a link that said, click here for the exact 1, 2, 3 directions for getting your toilet to stop overflowing immediately, guess what? You'd probably click that link. It's exactly, and I realize that's a crazy scenario. Most people aren't looking for that, certainly not in your niche. But that's the idea, is that when people are reading your article, they are desperate for a solution. They don't want to know more about you yet. So the resource box that I recommend that you use is the following. By the way, why do I use the transition phrase, by the way? The reason I use it is because it makes the resource box appear to be part of the article. And we all know the resource box is, it's really designed to be part of the article. But a lot of the article directories, it makes it, just the way it's positioned, it sort of looks like it's not right part of the article. So you have to use your mind here and say, how can I tie this resource box into the article? It needs to be part of the article, because if it's not part of the article, people are going to feel in their mind, oh, you're advertising to me, red light, let me hit the back button. You don't want that. Use the words, by the way, okay? By the way, do you want to learn more about XYZ, whatever it was your article was about? If so, download my brand new free guide here, and then your link is going to say on it, it is going to say how to do XYZ. Your articles should be about whatever your squeeze page is about. Let me repeat that. Your articles should be about whatever your squeeze page is about. So if your squeeze, let's say you're in the dog training niche, and your squeeze page is all about how to potty train a dog. Your article should all be about potty training your dog. They shouldn't be about dog nutrition, okay? If they were about dog nutrition, your squeeze page should be about dog nutrition. So your squeeze page should match your article. So you're going to say, Bob, do you want to learn more about XYZ, which is the topic of the article? If so, download my free guide here, the XYZ guide to, you know, whatever the article's about. And that's it. Underneath that, if you want to write, you know, your name, you'll say, you know, Dave Smith is an established whatever, you know, and can be reached here, that's fine. I don't recommend putting a whole paragraph with all your accolades. You don't need them. Nobody cares at this point. They may on down the road, but they don't care right now. And all you're doing in your article is getting people to your squeeze page. Okay? And then what you're going to do is you're going to upload your articles to the article directories online, or what I really like to see is have some articles go on your website and some go online, and then online, the ones that are online on various article directories, point people back to your website, okay? And then on your website is an article with a link where they can go to your squeeze page. You're going to do both, submit to the article directories and build your website. Okay, that's the first component. That's the traffic component. Okay, and I've just taught you in a nutshell how to do article marketing. That's how I generate my traffic, so that's what I'm teaching you. Obviously, you can use lots of other traffic sources out there, okay? I recommend that if you do, find the number one expert in the world on that type of traffic and learn from that person, okay? Don't buy the cheapest training on earth that you can to learn how to do a new traffic source, because if you do buy the cheapest training on earth, you're probably buying training from somebody who borrowed it from somebody else, 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 and frankly, it probably isn't up to date. Okay, I mean, you know how you can play that parlor game where one person whispers something in the ear and it goes on and on. After 25 people, it doesn't sound like the first thing. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, if you're going out there and buying, you know, rehashed, rewritten, you know, ebooks that are, you know, just dirt cheap, guess what? They've probably been rewritten and rewritten and rewritten and rehashed and rehashed and rehashed. Instead, find the number one expert for that traffic source and learn from that person. That's my recommendation. Okay? The second component is you need to have products to sell. Okay, now, let's talk about the mistakes people make trying to sell products or trying to create products. Now, before I talk about the mistakes, let me tell you this. I made what I'm getting ready to call a classic mistake my first year online, and yet, when I look back, I don't know that I necessarily would have done it differently if I'd have known differently, because I mean, my result has been, you know, well, it's been cool, okay? If anything, instead of writing 13 ebooks, maybe I would have written one and then switched over to recording. Okay? But I think the biggest mistake that people make in trying to create products is they try to write an ebook and it takes them like 2 years. Okay? Obviously, some people can write one in 90 days. My first one, I think, took 60 days. My second one took about 30 days. And then after that, I was down to like 2 weeks for, I think, the third one, the fourth one, maybe a week. And then I got to where I could write one in 2 or 3 days. Boy, those were really long days. Okay? And that's just an incredibly long learning curve. What I teach my clients and what I do myself for product creation now is I create an outline of what I'm going to teach, and then I sit that outline in front of me, and I just record the information. Instead of writing it out, I speak it out. Similar to what I'm doing right now. I mean, could I have written an ebook with all the information I've just shared? I mean, probably if I had typed out everything I've talked about for the last 45 minutes, it'd probably be 40 pages, okay? But it would have taken me like 2 days, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it would have taken me a lot of time to write all of this out. All my grammar would have had to be perfect. My spelling would have to be right. Whereas right now, I'm speaking in a lot of phrases. Now, I mean, just think about what I just said. Well, think about what I just said. That's a phrase. And so when we're speaking it, it just makes it so much easier. We don't have to go in and edit it and make it perfect. We're going to speak it. We're going to speak the truth. And if we cough in the middle or if we're doing it in our home office and the dog barks, you know what? It's okay. So this is a one-of-a-kind recording. It has my dog barking on it. It's okay. It's okay to create those kind of trainings. Now, keep in mind, I mean, you don't want to purposely create a training at the airport where there's a whole bunch of plane traffic going on and 14 guard dogs barking and all kinds of things. I mean, you want to do your best to make the recording as clean as possible. But it's okay if it's not perfect. Whereas people really judge an ebook. You know, my goodness, I remember when I was writing ebooks, you know, I have a 100-page ebook, phenomenal value, teach you how to do so many things. Imagine how many emails I got from people that said, you misspelled a word on page 77. Now, all I could think, I was really ungrateful. And the grateful answer would have been, thank you so much, Aunt Sheila, for letting me know about that typo. I'll go right in and change it right now. Okay? But honestly, all I could think was, is that all you got out of my ebook? And the beautiful thing about and a recording is you never get that. You never get, I mean, maybe out of thousands and thousands of recordings that I've sold over the years, maybe I've had one person write and say, you know, it sounded like you had a cold on that recording. And, you know, obviously he or she might have been accurate. I had a cold when I did that particular recording. So I'm rambling a little bit, but I just want you to understand how easy it is to create a product by simply recording the information that you know from your head. And if you don't know the information from your head, that's a different ballgame. If you're in a niche you don't know anything about, well, maybe you need to take the next 15 days and go become a student of the niche. Buy some expert products in your niche, go to the library, read a few books, you know, buy a few books and study them. Become an expert in your niche if you're just starting out a niche that you're not an expert in. Okay, so that's kind of a whole different ballgame there. I mean, obviously, if you're teaching people how to do things, my assumption is that you know how to do it already. So, I mean, if you're in the dog training niche and you're teaching about dog nutrition, you should know about dog nutrition. You know, if you're in the crocheting niche and you're teaching people how to crochet hats, you should know how to crochet a hat. Okay. So the formula that I teach now for product creation, it's the same formula I use. The first thing you do is you sit down. I do it on a piece of paper. Rarely use a computer for this, but I like paper. I buy a ream of paper every so often, and I just write it down. Pull out a sheet of paper, and you write down what I'm going to teach for my first product, and you're going to write down an outline. The first thing I'm going to teach, the second thing I'm going to teach, the third thing I'm going to teach, and basically the things you're going to teach are going to be how to do things. I mean, keep in mind, if you're in the info business, you're teaching people how to do things. You're not doing scientific research on black holes and selling that. Okay, you're probably teaching people how to do things, how to do dog training, how to do scrapbooking, how to change a tire, how to repair your engine, you know, how to make juice, how to get healthy, how to drive traffic, how to create a blog. I mean, you're teaching people how to do things. Well, when you're teaching people how to do things, you can almost remember back to maybe seventh grade when you had to do an essay. It was like a 500-word essay. Remember? It was like, you know, how to peel an orange. Well, step one, take the orange. Step two, get a knife. Step three, cut a slice in the orange. Step four, put your thumb in the slice. Remember when you had to do that in seventh or eighth grade? Same thing here. When you're creating your info product, you're teaching people how to do things. And so the easiest way to create your outline is to make a list of all the steps somebody would have to do. Then once you've made a list of the steps, write a list of the things that someone would have to do that step. Okay, and then you get MP3 recording software for your laptop, okay, or for a telephone, and you simply record the information. You look at your outline, and you record the information. Step one, you do this. You tell people all about how to do this. Step two, do this. You tell them all about how to do this. Okay, and this first product could be anywhere from 1 hour long to 3 or 4 hours long. I don't like more than 3 or 4 hours for your first product. In fact, 1 hour is a great length for your first product. 1 hour, that's plenty. Okay. But whatever it takes to teach if you're teaching somebody how to do something and it's going to take you 80 minutes to do it, you don't want to make it an hour because I just said an hour is a good length. You don't want to stretch it out to 3 or 4 because I told you that's your upper limit. Whatever, if it needs 5 hours, use 5. If it only needs 45 minutes, so what? Make it 45 minutes. Make your training whatever it needs to be. Okay? I submit to you that everyone hearing the sound of my voice right now could do the exercise I just shared with you at least once a month. I mean, really, take you an hour to write the outline. If you create a 3-hour training, I don't know, how long does it take to record 3 hours worth of your voice? 3 hours. How long does it take to drive a 3-hour drive to a city that's 3 hours away from 3 hours? How long does it take to record a 3-hour training? It takes 3 hours. Now, you can break that up into 3 1-hour sessions. You can do an hour on Monday, an hour on Tuesday, and an hour on Wednesday. I had a client that maybe it was yesterday, the day before, wrote me and said, I'm having a really hard time recording for a whole hour. Maybe I'm getting distracted. Maybe I make a mistake on minute 45, and I don't know how to edit things. Your suggestion was, start doing 15-minute recordings, and for a 3-hour training, just do 12, 15-minute recordings. God, obviously, I don't suggest that to all clients. I think it's the first time I've ever suggested, but hey, if that's what it takes, I mean, I've got training programs out there that have some 15-minute recordings on them. Now, usually, you know, that's because one topic takes 15 minutes, the next topic might be 80 minutes. They say I don't normally do 15, 15, 15, but I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. Okay, in fact, some people might say I like it better because you have these nice short trainings people can just sit down and listen to for 15 minutes. Okay, so how long does it take to create one product each month? 3 or 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. If you're hearing the sound of my voice right now, I believe you can create one new product a month. In fact, if you're an ambitious person, you could probably create one a week. I've done it before. I've done a product a week. Now, it's on an average basis, it's about one a month is what I crank out. And usually if I do 3 products in a month, I'm not much good for another month. It just takes so much energy out of me. Okay, but everybody, and if you're just starting out and you really need to make this business happen, you know, maybe you got to do what I did at the very beginning. You know, I was writing on average 7 or 8 articles a day, but there were days when I was writing 20 or 30. I felt like my brain hurt, my fingers hurt. They were stiff at the end of the day. And I'm not recommending you go to that level. You know, I don't want anybody inflicting personal physical pain to make it happen. But, you know, sometimes if you want to move fast, you just have to make sacrifices. Maybe it means you're going to have to do one product a week. I don't know. But long run, a product a month, 3 or 4 hours a month on product creation. Okay. Then the next thing that you're going to need is a sales letter. If you've never written a sales letter before, I personally recommend your first 5 training products that you create, use a sales letter writer. Okay, use some software out there, and you can use a search engine to find it. One I recommend now is Marlon Sanders, and that's over at marlonsalesletters.com. It's so easy to use. I've used it before, and it took me maybe an hour to write a sales letter on it, and it takes me longer to write my own sales letters now, and I've been doing it for a long time. Okay, sales letter writing, you know, I've made a really big deal about the fact that running this business is so simple. Traffic is simple. I showed you a simple way to do it. Creating products are simple. Simple, simple. So everything I've just shared with you is simple. Writing a sales letter is not. It's not simple. So if you want to keep your business really simple for the first 6 months, just skip learning how to write a sales letter for 6 months and let somebody else write your sales letter for you. Seriously, use a good sales letter software. I really recommend that. That's what I did for the first year. That's what I did for the first year. I think for every one of my ebooks the first year, I used a sales letter software. And if I remember correctly, probably my first three or four audio products, by then I had learned how to use an HTML editor. So instead of writing afresh when using the software, I would just edit it in the HTML editor. But I don't think I consistently started writing my own sales letters probably for a couple of years. So I wrote a coaching sales letter earlier than that. But I just really recommend, if you've never written a sales letter before, don't for the next 6 months. Allow somebody else to do it for you. Buy some software. Okay, the third thing that you must do if you're going to get here, what we've done so far, the simple part of this is drive traffic. That's your first step. It's your most time-intensive part. Okay, but if without it, you don't have a business. The second piece is product creation. It's your next least time intensive part, you know, a few hours a month for a new product. Okay, but all you've done really at this point is you've kind of set up your base. The bulk of your money is going to come from your long-term products and coaching on the back end. Okay, now, the easiest coaching program to create is to create a live coaching program where for 10 weeks, you hold a live coaching call, or 12 weeks, or 13, whatever, okay? You hold a live coaching call where each week you teach people how to do one step. That's the easiest coaching program I know of, okay? It's the one, it's actually not what I started with. I started with a written program, so it was a PDF, and I wrote a new PDF lesson every week. What I recommend for people now, what I've done for years, is if I do a live coaching program, it's going to be me teaching for an hour one step in my model. Okay, and so what is your model? Well, whatever you're teaching people how to do. You're teaching people how to rebuild engines. There's probably a bunch of steps, so each week you teach one step. If you're teaching people how to make juice so they can be healthier, well, each week you teach one step. Okay, if you're teaching people how to build a blog, each week you teach people a different step. Okay? Now, it doesn't have to be an hour. It could be 15 minutes, whatever. That's the easiest coaching program out there. And so what you do, here's how you do it. You're going to write another sales letter. You're going to also use software, and you're going to use the software to write your sales letter to your coaching program. But basically what that sales letter is going to say is something along the lines of, you know, you probably purchased a few products from me, and you've learned some good things, and you like what you've learned, but you probably need more than just the information. How would it feel to have somebody take you by the hand and show you how to do it step by step? And so that's why I put together a brand new coaching program, and it starts next week, and here's what we're going to do for 10 weeks. Then you list out, week one, we're going to do XYZ. Week two, we're going to do ABC. Week three, we're going to do DEF. And you just write it all out, and at the end, you say, you know, and obviously I'm really simplifying this because I'm not teaching you how to write a sales letter. It's the one piece in this whole model that's not simple. I want you to keep the business simple. The simplest way to do a sales letter is let somebody else write it for you. And the easiest way to do it is just to buy the software. Okay, but, you know, with some custom wording in there, you know, you can give the reasons why somebody would need extra help from you. Okay? And then you are going to promote that to your subscribers. And, again, what I find is that somewhere between 10 and 20% of the people who buy that initial product will buy into your coaching. Okay, now what you do is every single week for 13 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it is, you record the training that you do with those first clients. After 13 weeks, you have 13 recorded hours of training. You have an hour of step one, you have an hour of step two, you have an hour of step three, and so on. And at the end of 13 weeks, you can do one of two things with those 13 hours. You can load them all up into a single training that's $1,000. It's an advanced version of your $37 product. Your $37 product is a one-hour training. Your $1,000 product is 10, 12 hours. Maybe it comes with an hour of one-on-one consulting if people have questions. Maybe it comes with unlimited email access. Maybe it comes with some group coaching calls to kind of, you know, justify the value. But that product is going to become your $1,000 upsell. Okay, now, can that be a $200 upsell? And then your next 13 weeks, as you get better at teaching, you make your second one your $1,000, or your first one's $200, your second's $500, your third's $1,000, your fourth is $2,000. Sure, you can do that too. And so what I recommend when every 13 weeks is you launch a new coaching program on a slightly different topic. So let's say that you're in the niche of helping people with relationships, okay? And so maybe the first 13 weeks, you deal with spousal relationships, husbands and wives. Okay? In the end of the 13 weeks, you never have to teach that coaching live again. You turn that into a high-ticket product people can buy. And then the next 13 weeks, you do relationships, you know, with your boss, how to get along with your boss. You do 13 weeks. Then, you know, the next 13 weeks, maybe you have how to get along with your children. Maybe the next 13 weeks you have, you know, how to communication for people. Okay, let's say that you're in, you're in a marketing niche. Maybe the first 13 weeks you teach people how to set up a blog and put content on it. That's your coaching program. It's your live blog coaching program. The next 13 weeks, maybe you teach people how to drive traffic to the blog. The next 13 weeks, maybe you teach them how to create products. Okay, so I've just touched on two niches there, but you've got the idea. Each 13 weeks, you're going to coach on something different. What this allows you to do is your 13 hours of training, package it together as a single product that you sell at a higher price, $200, $500, $1,000, $2,000, depending on the value of the training. Okay. Well, what you also do, you can't do the same thing. You probably could, but I don't think I've ever done it exactly this way, but you could take those 13 hours and say, okay, I'm going to use those 13 hours, but instead of packaging them together as one training that I'm going to sell, I'm going to package that as a pre-recorded coaching program where people will get 13 hours of instruction, but instead of teaching them live the 13 hours of instruction, now every week with your autoresponder, you send them 1 hour of instruction each week as if it were live, okay, but they're getting the recording. It's the same information they would have gotten if they showed up for the live training, but they didn't because this is 13 weeks later. They enroll in a recorded coaching program, and then what you can do is you can hold a group coaching call where everybody can come on. You won't do any teaching on the group call, but people can ask questions. But this allows you to do, let's say, that over the course of a year, you record four 13-hour programs. You turn two of those programs into $1,000 courses, but you turn two of those programs into coaching programs. One is a coaching program on one topic. One is a coaching program on another. Now you could have two recorded training programs, one on one topic, one on another. You could have 10 people come into program A, 10 people come into program B, they would be getting the instruction via autoresponder for their topic, but both of those groups of people could come to your question and answer session and ask questions. So you could theoretically have 10 coaching programs or 20 coaching programs 5 years from now that all feed into one coaching call every single week. So everybody in all your coaching programs comes to one coaching call. That allows you to leverage your time. It goes back to what I believe I shared with you earlier in the call where I said your coaching takes a couple hours a week and all you're doing is doing Q&A on down the road. I mean, you've got to record the first few coaching programs. Okay, folks, that concludes the model. I'm going to give you some more information here and we'll move on. That concludes the model. Let me do a quick review. The first step is you have to have traffic. Now, we've talked about the fact it's not going to happen the very first month. You're going to start by doing some of the traffic yourself. Once you have money coming in, you're going to begin reinvesting a portion of that into other people driving the traffic for you. You're also going to create one new product a month. And if you're really gung-ho and you really want to build your business fast, you know, maybe you have it in you to create one a week or two a month for the first few months. Okay, but the model is one a month. Okay. And the third component is you are going to launch a coaching program, and you are going to do this initially once every 13 weeks. But once you have a recorded program, you could literally promote entry into your coaching program every other week if you wanted to. Because remember, since they're recorded, everybody doesn't have to come in at the same time. You could have two clients come in on week one, two clients come in on week two, two clients come in on week three, and it doesn't matter because on week two, those week two clients, they're going to get the training for week one. The clients that come in on week three, they're going to get the training for week one. In their week two, they're going to get the training for week two because it's all going out according to autoresponder. But everybody, no matter what level of coaching they're in, they're all going to come on to the same coaching call with you. So let me just, you know, kind of refresh one idea. I've given you this model. I've made it simple for you. Now, if you've taken 25 pages of notes with lots of arrows shooting all over the place, excuse me, it probably doesn't feel really simple right now. And so what I challenge you to do is go back through and take out a fresh sheet of paper when you get done with this training and boil the 27 pages of notes down to one page. Then when you boil them down to one page, try to boil them down again to another page. Okay, and really, in the end, there's just three components. Drive traffic, create a new product each month, and have a coaching, ongoing coaching program. Those are the three components. And you're going to build over time. And as you create more products and put them into your funnel, okay, and you can set things up automatically. You know, if you have 10 products, you can set things up so that the first 10 weeks somebody's in your automation campaign, your automated email campaign, each week they're exposed to a different product. Week one, they're exposed to product number one. You send two or three or four emails out helping people understand why they need product one and teaching them and giving them good content. And then week two, you're promoting product two. And you can't do that the first month. You can do it the 10th month. And if you're savvy about this, you'll start out the very second month by beginning to put this automation in place so that in the future, every time you create a product, all you've got to do is tag it on to the end of your autoresponder campaign so all new people coming in will get exposed to each product over time. So you want to keep this thing simple, okay? And again, if you have 27 pages of notes, if you have one of my training programs that's, I don't know, 25 hours long or something, recognize it. And other people have created these huge training programs. We create them to give you tons of details so that if you have any questions about anything, they're all in there. But it's easy to allow that to become confusing. Don't. Take what I've shared with you today and make it simple. Boil it down and boil it down and boil it down until you can put all these steps, what you need to do, on a postcard or on the back of a napkin. I can. Traffic, articles. One product a month, 3 to 4 hours. Do my two-hour coaching call each week, okay? And actually, it's not even 2 hours. I bill it as a one-hour coaching call, but I usually have the time to go over, and if people have questions, then I usually will go over. But I'm obligated to 1 hour, but, you know, I normally go over. You could be obligated to 1 hour and normally go over, and so if you normally went over, sometimes it would only be an hour and 10 minutes, not 2 hours. An hour and 15 minutes, not 2 hours, okay? A lot of people struggle. Number one, they allow themselves to get bogged down with all the details. Please don't. Why else do people struggle? Number two, they don't know the steps. Okay? I've just given you the steps. And obviously, if after going back and listening to my training on how to write an article, you know, you feel like you need lots more depth and many more ideas, you know, hey, maybe then you need to purchase additional training on, you know, articles. Or, you know, if you're going out and you say, you know what, I don't want to do articles. I don't want to do it. I have the budget to start investing right away. I got the budget. I just want to learn to do pay-per-click. I've got $5,000 a month I'm willing to invest. I realize the first couple months I'm probably going to lose half of it, most of it, you know, while I'm learning how to do it. But that's okay. I have the budget. I'm willing to do it. Go find an expert on pay-per-click and buy their training program, their advanced training program, and get really good at it, okay? If some of what I've shared with you today on the product creation side, I mean, if you don't know what an MP3 is, if you don't have any idea how you might turn on the recording aspect on your laptop, then maybe you need some more training, okay? And if that's the case, buy the training from somebody who has done it and does it the way that you want to do it, okay? Obviously, I've got training like that, but there's other people that have training like that that if you like their products better than mine, you buy it from them. Buy from the person who's going to teach you to do it the way that you want to do it, okay? And the same thing with the coaching program. You know, I have a complete coaching program training over at 30daycoachingbusiness.com. It's a complete coaching program training. Teaches you all the steps on creating coaching program. You know, I've got a training for building the info business that has depth and depth and depth details on everything that I've taught today over at infobusinessautomation.com. Okay? And other people have trainings that teach you these pieces as well. But I challenge you, leave today with the idea that this is really simple and that you're just going to learn the pieces to do it. Kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. A jigsaw puzzle is really simple. And when you have the box top, and in a lot of ways I've given you the box top today, you kind of see where things plug in. And then maybe there's something you need clarification on. Go out there and get the clarification that you need. Okay. And the third reason why people struggle is marketers make it complicated. You know, there's going to be four, so I'm just going to split this one into two pieces. One is marketers make it complicated. And I think I've already shared that with you. You know, if I were to take all of this information and expound it and expand it, I mean, I've probably taught 10 hours on each of like, three or four or five different things that I've taught today. Okay, I mean, my goodness, I think my email training is like 15 hours long. Do you need 15 hours of email training? Oh, probably not. Okay. However, sometimes when people buy my email training, they get past the first hour and they go, "Wow, I've learned more about email marketing in the last hour than I have in the last 3 years." Okay. And a lot of times, they don't even go on to the rest of the material. They go, "Wow, this is just what I need." Okay. You don't need all that training. But if you're the kind of person that really likes it, you can use that kind of training. From me or from somebody else, you can use that kind of training. But when you use that kind of training, use it to fill in the blanks. Don't use it to be consumed with email marketing for 90 days while you learn every detail. Does that make sense? Keep this model so simple. You should be able to write down every single day on the back of a napkin your entire model from your memory and what you're going to do today from memory on a napkin. Every single day you should be able to write that down. If you have more things to do today than you have space on a napkin, you're probably doing too many details. Okay? The fourth reason why people often struggle with what I've shared today is they get distracted. Okay, they sit down to record their 3-hour audio, have 3 hours. You know, let's say you work out of your home office, your wife or your husband has taken the kids to the park for 3 hours so you can record. And you sit down at your computer to start recording, and you realize you have 100 emails in your inbox. And you say, "I'm going to spend 5 minutes on emails, look at the important ones." So you do. 5 minutes later, you've looked at the 5 important emails, and you've responded to them all. And then you go, "Well, I have 2 hours and 55 minutes left. You know what? I'll do a 2 hours and 50-minute recording. I'll spend 5 more minutes and read 5 more emails." You know where this is going. An hour and a half later, you finished up your last email, and then you go, "Okay, let me turn on the recording software." You turn on the recording software, and then you get a beep, and you read the email, and it says, "There's a brand new source of traffic that just came out yesterday, and you want to get on the front end of it, and if you'll sign up for my 90-minute webinar, you can learn all about it right now, and within 24 hours, you can be generating this new type of traffic." So you log in, you listen to the 90-minute webinar, okay, and you probably don't know how to generate the traffic, and you're not sure how you would use the traffic, but maybe you buy the training anyway. And when your wife or your husband comes home and says, "Hey, honey, how'd that 3-hour recording go?" You hang down your head, and you go, "Oh, that 3-hour recording, And I know I'm exaggerating things a little bit, but trust me, I have pretty much done exactly what I just shared with you. And I've done it repeatedly. I've gotten distracted so many times. I've lost so many hours to the same kinds of distractions I've just mentioned. Now, I just mentioned two of them, and there's lots of distractions that come into our lives that distract us from actually doing the work. And what I recommend is a method of time management that basically means the way that you do it is figure out what you want to accomplish in the next so much time. So let's just say the next month you want to create one product and create one coaching program. That's all you want to do the next month. You write down all the steps. You can write it down from the training I've just given you. You write down all the steps on what needs to be done. And you commit to yourself that every single day, whatever your time is that you can work, whether it's an hour a day or 3 hours a day, the only thing you're going to do is the next step on that list before you open your email, before you listen to a webinar, before you open a video, before you listen, before you do anything, you're going to do one step in the process. So day one, you might record for an hour. Day two, you might record for an hour. Day three, you might record for an hour. Day four, you might buy sales letter software. Day five, you might write the sales letter. Day six, you might reread and edit the draft of your sales letter for spelling errors. Day seven, you might upload all your MP3s to a download page. Day eight, you might write three emails to put in your email campaign. Day nine, you might put those emails in your email campaign. Day 10, you write your outline for your coaching program. Day 11, you write your sales letter for your sales letter program. Day 12, you tweak it. Day 13, you write three emails to promote the coaching program to your list. Day 14, you send those emails out to your list, or you queue them up so they'll go out every other day. And day 15, you talk to some people about coaching if they have questions. And day 16, maybe you take the day off because you've done everything you need to do for the month. And day 17, you draw up your plan for the next month. And day 18, you do your first coaching class with the people that signed up over the course of the last 5 days. And day 19, you celebrate. And day 20, you take another day off. And day one of the next month, you start over on your new plan, whatever that is. And imagine that. What's the worst thing that could happen? Well, at the end of the month, you'd actually have a product and a coaching program. You may have 1,000 emails in your inbox that you neglected, but who really cares? I mean, what's the difference between having 1,000 emails in your inbox and having 25 unanswered? I mean, realistically, I mean, unless you're, you know, a surgeon or a rocket scientist where people rely on you for life or death, you know, probably most of those emails can wait. I mean, what would happen if you just didn't listen to any webinars for 30 days? What would be the worst thing that happened? Well, you wouldn't have learned about any of the new fad traffic out there, but if you don't have any products to sell, you don't need any fad traffic anyway. I rarely use fad traffic, and usually I'm sorely disappointed anyway. So I know that I'm going a little bit of a tangent here, but I really want to illustrate for you how much you can get done if the first thing every single day that you do is something that's on your to-do list for actually getting things done. So if you're making a to-do list for yourself every day, and the first item on your to-do list is clean out my email box, and the second item is read all the jokes people send me, and the third item is listen to all the videos that people send me, and the fourth item is respond to all marketing gurus that ask me questions, okay, you've already burnt 3 hours of your day, and by the time you actually start to do real work on your business, you're tired anyway. Wouldn't it be better to do the real work on your business first while you're fresh and then answer emails when you're tired? I mean, you can answer emails at 10 o'clock at night while you're watching some TV show that puts you asleep. Okay? But you probably can't record your product then. You probably need to record your product in the morning when you're fresh. Okay, so I hope you're getting the idea here. Do the important stuff first. Okay, let me just kind of review the back of the napkin. Traffic, new product each month. Promote your coaching program once or twice a month, and hold a weekly coaching call. Okay, folks, this concludes my teaching for you on the formula for getting to a full-time income online.